ISIS has claimed responsibility for attacks in Afghanistan and Pakistan in the past 2 days, and the Taliban carried out a deadly attack in southern Afghanistan yesterday. The violence comes as President Trump unveils his national security strategy today. Michael Kugelman is deputy director of the Asia program at the Woodrow Wilson Center. He was in the region last month and joins us now from Washington. Michael, what is the importance of the area around the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan to U.S. national security?
Well, the Afghanistan-Pakistan region is really one of the most volatile regions in the world. And I think that given that the chief U.S. Interest in South Asia is stability, the fact that you have rampant instability throughout much of Afghanistan and much of Pakistan as well suggests that U.S. interests are very much imperiled in a part of the world where, you know, lest we forget, America has been fighting its longest ever foreign war for the last 17 years.
But the United States has also been counting on both certainly Afghanistan and Pakistan. Pakistan may be better prepared to counter the what's happening on the ground, extremism there. What is happening? You are in an area called North Waziristan, the Pakistani tribal region that borders Afghanistan. What did you see and what did you find?
What I saw in North Waziristan was very surreal. I mean, this is a region that's long been regarded as one of the most dangerous parts of the world simply because it has attracted all types of different terrorist groups from Al-Qaeda to local terror groups like the Taliban. What I saw is a fair degree of stabilization in the very small amount of the city of Miranshah in North Waziristan that I saw.
Stabilization because of Pakistani counterterrorism efforts?
Yeah, the Pakistani army launched an operation in North Waziristan about 3 years ago to go after the Pakistani Taliban, which has carried out the majority of the terror attacks in Pakistan really over the last decade. And it's been effective in the sense that terrorist attacks have gone down. And the fact that I was able to be there, that the Pakistani military felt comfortable bringing an American foreign affairs analyst to see the progress on the ground, I think that speaks to something. But at the same time, we really need to caveat this issue. Yes, on the one hand, you know, I saw, you know, all kinds of development. There are new hospitals being built, new roads, things like that. But clearly, there was more than met the eye. I saw a very small part of North Waziristan. And, you know, the terrorism remains a major problem, not too far from what the area that I had seen. In fact, there were several terrorist attacks in North Waziristan just over the last week to 10 days.
I know that you've said you were struck by how easily progress made, and you're talking about some of that progress, could be squandered thanks to the what you call the enduring appeal of extremism in the area. What is the appeal?
Well, the fact of the matter is that hardline, hateful ideologies have made major inroads in Pakistan in recent years. I mean, you have children going to school and public schools, and they open their textbooks, and what they find in there is just a lot of nasty stuff said about members of religious minorities, India, Israel, the United States. You have very influential religious leaders, clerics, who in their weekly sermons spout a lot of hate. And what really struck me, what I found so ironic about my trip to North Waziristan, is that a group of religious hardliners, extremists, were planning a protest in Islamabad. Roads were shut down in Islamabad, which almost prevented me from getting over to the helipad in Islamabad that was going to take me to see this so-called counterterrorism progress. So in effect, you know, my trip to see progress with the terrorism problem was nearly imperiled by religious extremists, and I find that a bit ironic.
Why are both things allowed?
Unfortunately, in Pakistan, these religious hardliners have outsized influence. You know, the protesters that eventually made it to Islamabad and essentially camped out in the middle of the city for 2 weeks, there were only a few thousand of them. But I think that the government and the state on the whole, it treats them with kid gloves and is very worried. It knows that many Pakistanis across the board are receptive to ideologies of hate. And I think that you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of hesitation on the part of the state to confront that type of thing.
But why is that? I mean, why? What would be the attractiveness to Pakistan, especially since it's under this pressure from the United States as well as others? What would be the interest in overlooking or condoning these actions?
Well, I think the broader context is important here. Pakistan, and particularly the security establishment, the military, has been willing to provide space, a sanctuary, and support to certain types of extremist organizations, including terrorist organizations such as the Afghan Taliban and the Haqqani Network. Essentially, these groups help serve Pakistan's interests by keeping Pakistan's enemy, India, at bay in Afghanistan. And so I think that the Pakistani military is not willing to confront groups like that, even though, as you note, the U.S. Government has for years been demanding that the U.S. act against them, and the Trump administration has really amped up the pressure by threatening to take unprecedented punitive measures to try to punish Pakistan if the Pakistanis don't respond, though I'm not particularly optimistic that the Pakistanis will respond in the way that the Americans want them to.
Michael, unpack what you said a little bit more there, that it serves at least the Pakistani military purpose to let some of this extremism happen because they want to keep India at bay in Afghanistan. How do you mean that?
Pakistan worries that India will try to use Afghanistan as a space to plan nefarious acts inside Pakistan. Now, in my view, there's very little clear evidence that this is actually happening or that it would happen. But, Pakistan really worries that India would try to increase its presence in Afghanistan, giving it an opportunity to do that. And groups like the Haqqani Network, sure, they go after Afghans, they go after U.S. and foreign forces, but they also go after Indian targets. They've targeted Indian consulates in Afghanistan before. So, my point here is that, unfortunately, a terrorist group like the Haqqani Network serves as a useful asset to the Pakistanis because it helps promote their interests by minimizing or reducing the likelihood that India could deepen its presence inside Afghanistan, even though India and Afghanistan have a pretty deep relationship and India has long provided a lot of development and diplomatic support to Afghanistan.
And the Haqqani Network being one of the extremist groups in the area. What is the United States' involvement there directly on the ground? To what extent are U.S. forces engaged there right now along this border?
Well, I mean, the U.S. presence, the military presence, is on the Afghan side of the border, of course. It's been fighting a war for 17 years. And the majority, the major component of this war in Afghanistan, really for the last 3 years, has been to provide training and advising to Afghan security forces. And I think that the Trump administration's Afghanistan strategy is really banking on a very risky and shaky assumption, and that is essentially that by putting more military pressure on the Taliban and by going after them harder on the battlefield, that eventually they'll beat the Taliban down enough that the Taliban would be willing to step off the battlefield and agree to launch a reconciliation process with the Afghan government that would end the war. But I say that's very risky because we've tried it before. We tried it when we had more than 100,000 U.S. troops on the ground during the height of the U.S. troop surge in 2010, 2011. It didn't work then, so I don't see why it would necessarily work now when we only have 13, 14,000 U.S. troops on the ground.
Final question. What is your takeaway from your trip to the region that you would hope would inform Washington as it looks at strategy for 2018?
What I saw really solidified what so many of us in Washington have long suspected, and that is that Pakistan does take action against terrorist groups of a certain type, the type that stage attacks against Pakistan. And that's why, what I saw on the ground in North Waziristan was evidence that Pakistan had gone after the likes of the Pakistani Taliban. But there was no evidence that the Pakistanis had really done much at all to deal with the problem of the Haqqani Network, which had a presence, a very considerable presence, in the very roads that I was traveling on when I was in North Waziristan. When military officials that I was with were asked, what happened to the Haqqani Network? They basically were very vague and said that it had basically just melted away. And I think that's basically confirmed for myself that, the focus of this counterterrorism operation in North Waziristan was to go after a terrorist group of a certain type and something that's much appreciated by the government here in Washington. But at the end of the day, the U.S. government wants Pakistan to do more. But whether Pakistan does do more, I think, is very unlikely.
Good to talk to you. Michael Kugelman is Deputy Director of the Asia Program at the Woodrow Wilson Center. He was recently in the volatile tribal region between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you.